This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton. The real-life murder that inspired Twin Peaks. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, good Monday morning. Welcome in. Mark Cox here alongside Kim St. Ange, Carl Middleman, Susan Thomas with your traffic here. In just a few minutes, we'll get you caught up to date on that, and we're happy you're with us. If you can always pick up the podcast, if you can't listen to all 4 hours, the Odyssey app is a great place to go for that. You can go to 971talk.com. Wherever you download your podcasts, you can find us, and we put all 4 hours of the show up there. So if you miss anything, you can hit the rewind button and go back and listen to it a little later. Coming up, we are going to talk next hour to Kim Mathis. She's an attorney who went to court over Proposition B, defending Proposition B, I should mention, because, of course, Sam Page and several of his cronies tried to get it thrown off the ballot. You've already voted on it potentially in St. Louis County. Election day is tomorrow for those of you that haven't voted yet. But Prop B is on there. I'm a yes on Prop B. Sam Page doesn't like it because it restricts some of his power, which is probably very necessary in certain times. And that's been the experience of the county council. So we're going to get to more on that for you coming up in the top of the 8 o'clock hour. Kim Mathis is going to join us and talk about that challenge and why it's so important that they got a victory on Friday afternoon, very late in the day. So we'll have some new information on that for you in about an hour. Coming up at 7:35, we're going to talk to Randy Cook and Ashley Sturm. They are candidates on the Francis House School Board ballot, which is, of course, people have been voting already. You can vote again today. There's no rain, not a cloud in sight. Get out there and vote. They've got remote voting available across the area right now. If you're on the Missouri side of the river, wherever you are, you could vote early. And then you can, of course, go tomorrow if you absolutely need to. Going to be a little cold tomorrow morning.
In St. Charles, I was looking at my sample ballot. There are two things on the ballot. Should take you all of, especially if you've looked at your ballot and you know how you're voting, it should take you all of about 15 seconds to fill in two bubbles. And I know there are some areas that have a little bit more, but not much.
It's simple. It's not a complicated ballot. Why you wouldn't vote, I don't know. If you have that right, it's the most important one you have. Go exercise it. We don't need 16% voter turnout this time. We need 25 or 30% would be very nice. Given what's at stake here. Nothing more important than what's going on with our kids. All right, we're going to get to all that coming up. Real or fake news is next, but first I'm going to get to our top stories, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
Every country is calling and being very solicitous of us. Very, very nice. The United States can't lose $1.9 trillion on trade.
No, how about that? And here's the thing about it. If you listen to MSDNC or CNN this morning, it's all about the chaos and the market downturn, and Trump's not backing off. Not backing off because he wants to win for America, and a little bit of short-term pain is going to pay off in spades down the road.
Did you use AI to generate this? Why are they on the list?
If you leave anything off the list, the countries that try to arbitrage America go through those countries.
Yeah, the Commerce Secretary there having to explain to Margaret Brennan, who doesn't like anything Trump, why they included certain countries on the list for the tariffs. It was really pretty simple.
My concern was that whenever that happens, the next outbreak will be of a respiratory disease that's easily transmissible, that has a significant degree of morbidity.
Ooh, that sounded like Anthony Fauci wishing he was still in control because he wants to shut down some more businesses or make you wear a mask. He's back, baby.
I was one of the paid protesters at the April 5th liberal protests. And so I just wanted to come on and talk about my experience, what I had to do to get paid.
Yep. Just as we suspected around the country. Oh, millions and millions of people turned out Saturday. What you saw was probably the greatest example of Trump derangement syndrome across the country. You see that one shot they had of all the different locations mm-hmm. with all the people who showed up, and you know, it probably didn't amount to several million people nationwide out of a country of 340 million. Only a scant few who showed up to protest. Good for you. Exercise your First Amendment rights. But I drove down Manchester Road. I had other friends who were on Brentwood Saturday morning, one of whom was driving a Tesla. I've got a picture of it up on the Facebook page. She and her four-year-old daughter were frightened by what was being yelled at them from that crowd after they got stuck in traffic right in front of them. Of course, she's in a Tesla. They hate Tesla. Well, they don't really hate Tesla. They hate Elon Musk. Well, they don't really hate Elon Musk. They hate Donald Trump. They hate the world because Donald Trump is the president of the United States. Not a single one of them could tell you anything he's done that has injured them personally. They just think Orange Man bad. So this is what we're dealing with in the country. And as I put the post up, I pointed out the fact that some, not all, certainly, are paid protesters. They showed up with professionally made signs, all with the same message, all the same messaging. It was pretty clear. It was a concentrated, coordinated effort in a lot of areas. That doesn't mean everybody showed up to do that. But here's one girl who went on TikTok yesterday, and it kind of explained that she showed up. She wanted to get paid. She had to follow certain rules.
And how much I got paid. So there were two kind of parts to it. The first was obviously just showing up. They gave me like a time and a place and told me to look for a girl with blue hair and a nose ring, which like I thought would be really hard. Because I thought like everyone was going to look like that. But luckily, she was the only one. It was really easy to find her. That was good.
So she showed up. They gave her a sign. They told her where to go. And then afterwards, she had to fill out some sort of questionnaire in order to get paid.
How much did she get paid?
Well, hopefully she explains that here in part two. Listen.
Checked in. They told you that you couldn't wear anything MAGA. They also asked you not to wear red. So I just wore a black t-shirt and jeans.
They gave her a sign and they sent her out to protest. And then she had to fill out some sort of a questionnaire. And you had to answer the questions right or you couldn't get paid.
Had to answer the questionnaire as if you were a liberal. And there were right and wrong answers. Like, it wasn't just like whatever you thought. Like, you could get the questions wrong and you had to get them right in order to get paid. At this point, I had already invested like 2 hours of my time, so I wanted the money, you know? So the first question, for example, was why do Republicans want more women to stay home and not work and not have jobs?
That was one of the questions.
I almost question if this is even legitimate or if she's making it up, because don't you think that they would potentially find this video circulating on TikTok and take back any of the money they gave her?
Well, I don't know.
Why would she be so willing?
Or something. I don't know.
It almost sounds like she might be either a secret conservative or not uber liberal, and
she wanted to do this.
Right, and she wanted to experience it. So almost like a little undercover thing. I just have to wonder if she got to keep her money.
All I know is that all those people that turned out to exercise the First Amendment rights on Saturday got drenched, because my intention was to go out there and walk up and down the line and ask them questions on camera. I had my Trump, my sweatshirt on. I wore my hoodie that said Trump won, get over it. And I was going to walk up and down the line and ask them questions. But it was raining so hard, I didn't want to get out of the car. It wasn't worth it. I just recorded a little bit of me waving my flag at him out the window. And they yelled, They yelled back at me as I drove by, as you can imagine. All right, coming up, we'll get to real or fake news with one Carl Middleman, who will once again try. Now, Drew's going to play today. So Drew could potentially pick the music on Friday.
Yes, he's here Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday of this week.
For Ethan, yeah.
But he might not get to be here for his own.
We'll see what happens. Play along with us coming up next, and then we'll get to our school board candidates at the bottom of the hour. Stay tuned.
We are fighting the fake news.
Real or fake?
Fake. Phony. Fake.
News quiz.
It is time for the real or fake news quiz. I'm Carl, and every week at this time, I give the people in the studio headlines, and they have to tell me whether they are real or fake.
Nice.
Mark Cox was our winner 2 weeks ago, but last week, Kim St. Ange won. So we had Van Halen 2 weeks ago, and last week
Baby
we had
Shark.
Baby
last
Shark.
Last week, yeah.
That's right.
Okay.
But she had some great music.
So did she get to start since she won last time?
She did.
Okay. All right.
And Drew is not here to benefit if he wins on Friday.
No, but he will get to pick the music. Be gentle.
You'll wake up.
Yes. I got stuff picked out already. So
oh, nice.
Expecting a win here.
So. I like that confidence.
Kim St. Ange, since you are a returning champion, a man was arrested for making fake bands with AI and then made $10 million having bots stream them. Is that real or fake?
I'll say real.
I'm going to say real on that.
Mark Cox.
I'm going to say fake.
It is real.
Oh!
He got arrested for wire fraud was one of the things because he...
So how did he distribute it and make money off of it is my question, if it's not through a streaming service.
It was through a streaming service.
Somebody was paying for it.
Yes.
Spotify or something?
But they were fake accounts. He made bots that then listened to the songs, and so he was getting paid for them, but no one actually ever existed except this guy, and he just kept raking in the money. So he's in jail now.
Interesting.
Drew Young. Even a $14,000 government handout cannot get South Korean singles to get married. Is that real or fake?
I'm just going to say fake.
Mark Cox.
I'll go with real.
Kim St. Ange.
I'll say real.
It is real. They give them like $340 to spend on dates because their population is going down.
Okay.
And 14.
Oh, because they're restricting the number of kids they can have, right?
No, this is South Korea.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
And this is their currency, right?
Yes.
Or is this U.S. dollars?
Nah, this is their currency. They give about approximately $14,000 up front if they get married.
Wow.
You know things are bad when you're paying people and they still won't get married.
Yeah.
Guys, marriage is great. Go get married.
For $14,000?
Yeah, there you go. Drew might consider it.
And find some lady on the street.
Yeah,
you know? And
double it and give it to the next
and
person.
And housing subsidies.
Wow.
So, and they get you more if you get pregnant.
Do I get like a food stipend too? I mean,
let's all move to South Korea.
No, thank you.
No, absolutely not. Drew Young, you're up. Went.
No, he wants me, right?
This is number...
Yeah, it's
yeah
Mark.
You're right.
This is Mark.
Sorry, Mark.
That's all right.
I was going
try to
this
cheat
way.
You.
Yep. Mark Cox, real or fake, an oil painting of an uncrustable sandwich sold for $5,000. Real or fake?
An oil painting of an uncrustable sandwich.
Sold for $5,000.
I'm going to go fake.
Kim St. Ange.
Fake.
Go fake on that.
And all of you are wrong.
Oh, man.
It's Neil Vernier. I don't know who he is, but he drew an oil painting of an uncrustable sandwich. And someone bought it.
That's just sad.
For $5,000.
For $5,000.
Oh, you
I'll draw you an
money.
Oil painting of an uncrustable and sell it to you for $5,000.
Kim St. Ange. Real or fake? High demand for Zumba instructors has gyms booking high schoolers. Real or fake?
Real.
Drew Young.
It's that three reels in a row, so fake?
I'll go real.
It's fake.
Oh.
And that was my
catching up
thing.
I used to go by that. Yeah. Everyone thought I had some weird trick. I'm like, no, I just do that old high school thing where I picked C too many times, so I'm like, well, I have to do a B now.
Yeah. So we're tied, right?
How did that work on
the
ACT?
Yes, you are tied. You both have two.
Yes.
Mark has one. Who's up next? I believe it is Drew.
Mm-hmm.
Drew Young. Real or fake, Ozempic is a modified synthetic version of a protein discovered in the venomous saliva of the Gila monster. Real or fake?
Yeah, it's real.
Mark Cox.
I'm gonna go fake on this one.
Kim St. Ange.
I'll say fake.
Wait. Can I change my answer?
No, you can't change your answer.
Because you're right.
Oh! Okay.
You are right.
No, I think he should be able to change it. I think he wanted to go fake.
I'll follow Carl's rules. You know?
Whatever.
Well, you're the only one that says it's real.
Isn't that convenient,
it's
Drew?
It's real. What a coincidence. Mark Cox, real or fake, old school metal braces in your mouth are making a comeback. Real or fake?
I think they worked better, but I'll say real.
Kim St. Ange.
I'll say real.
True. All right. Just so I'm on par with Kim, I'm going to say real.
It is real.
Oh, my gosh.
Dentists are finding out that more people want the metal braces. As Mark says, they work better faster.
They're uglier.
I remember I had them. I mean, you can pick the color. I remember getting the colored rubber bands and think, oh, this week I have blue.
Always hated the day after they went in and tightened them.
And the bands, though, you'd have in between them, those were so painful.
This will be the last one. This will be between Drew and Kim. Mark, you're way behind, but I'll let you answer anyway. Real or fake, there's no word for flossing in French.
Oh, is it me?
Mm-hmm.
It's me. I'll go with real.
Kim St. Ange.
I'll say real.
Real?
It is real. So therefore, the one who cannot benefit from being here will have to get up early.
Thank you.
To listen to whatever songs Drew Young picks out.
What are we in for, Drew?
Yeah, what kind of music do you like?
You said you've already picked them out.
Yeah, so I lied about that.
What kind of music do you like?
It was fake.
All kinds.
Please no heavy death metal.
Okay.
Be nice.
All right.
You and Ethan.
Lots of country. Mark loves country.
Well, I thought this was my pick.
I'm just making suggestions.
Just trying to influence
him. That's fire.
Mm-hmm. All right, coming up, we're going to talk to two of the members running for the Francis House School Board. Stay tuned. All right, welcome back. We are. It is election eve. You know, it's probably not even fair to say that anymore because you've been able to vote for a while now. But you can vote, of course, satellite locations in Missouri in most municipalities. And tomorrow's election day. We still have most people turning out tomorrow, so we need to get the vote out. It's never been more important. You got my voter guide out there, 971talk.com. You can download it. It's a PDF, print it off, and see the races I picked in your area. If I haven't, it's because I've looked at these candidates and didn't think there was anybody worthy on the school board candidates specifically of our support. Two that do have my support are Randy Cook and Ashley Sturm. We've got Ashley in studio and Randy joining us by phone this morning, and welcome to you both. Ashley, welcome in the studio.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah, Randy, how you doing?
Doing well this morning. Thank you.
I'm glad to hear that. So we need to get voters turned out. I see the Facebook ads and everything that you guys are running. You're doing a lot of door knocking. I see the campaign signs all over the place that
billboard.
Ken Gontars has helped put out. I did see the billboard.
Yeah, that's great. Looks nice.
And I was going to tell you, thank you for your support. Yesterday I was walking around canvassing and I knocked on a door and the first question out of their mouth was, well, are you on Mark Cox's voter guide?
Oh, really?
Nice.
I was like, actually, yes, we are. And he's
that's
like, okay,
awesome.
Okay, you're good. And I'm like, all right.
Yeah.
You passed the test.
Right. Is that it? This was an easy conversation. All right.
Yeah, I love that. Randy, you're the veteran here since you're already on the board. Tell me what's at stake tomorrow.
Well, really just common sense school board policies and management. We talk a lot about curriculum and all of the different social issues and hot topics that go on in schools, but honestly, a lot of what the school board's responsible for is just good financial management of the district and oversight, and that's something that all taxpayers, and I think, can relate to, and we just need good people on the board who pay attention to these things and aren't afraid of questioning things.
Yeah,
when they need questioned.
I think that's a key. Ashley, you talked once before when you were on about what motivated you to run. Yeah. Maybe tell people again.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm personally very invested. So aside from selfish reasons, I have a 10-year-old, 8-year-old, and a 6-year-old. Kind of my background in executive management and leadership, I've seen the way a board works. And really, I think one of the strongest metaphors when you really talk about it is, you know, if you're on a ship, you know, the board actually sets the course. You got the superintendent being the captain, and then you have the whole staff and crew really making it happen. So keeping all of that in mind, the school board really making that the North Star student success being top number one priority. As long as we can all focus that way, I think we can find a lot of success.
We obviously want to make sure, and Randy, I'll address this to you. Obviously, you know, you've been serving there on the board. We want to keep a lot of things that seem to be working in the school district, but what needs to change?
Well, we really just need to move on beyond a lot of these culture issues. We have a lot of our detractors, I like to call them. Is probably the best way I can say it, who just like to keep these things in the news. They constantly want to bring in progressive policies. And the amount of effort it takes sometimes to just keep the focus on academics is quite a bit. But that's what's at stake, is if we don't do that, you're going to see these schools go back to the way they were in 2020, 2021, where they're bringing in, you know, people of, you know, we have this critical race theory professor from Mizzou and all sorts of other crazy topics. And we're not interested in that. We're keeping all that out and just keeping the focus on the students and on academics.
Yeah. Are there curriculum issues you'd like to address, Ashley?
You know, one of them that are coming up that I'm very personally invested in is because in a different school district, my oldest had a really hard time reading. And it wasn't until my sister, who is a teacher, had come to visit and kind of gave her a test. And she turned to me and she goes, Ashley, she doesn't know phonics. I said, what do you mean? And she said, they're teaching sight words. She doesn't know phonics. She doesn't know how to build a word. And so when we moved to the Francis House School District, they began teaching those things. And I know it's a part of our course, but really making that the standard. And Into Reading is actually one of the curriculum pieces that are up for vote at the very next school board meeting. So that'll be one of the first decisions that the new school board will get to choose on. I'm really excited about it. Still looking into the data, but I saw the first reading. It's got 73% approval from our current teachers. They put a lot of hard work into reviewing this curriculum, and I think it'll be a good step forward for the district.
Randy, correct me if I'm wrong, but there is a conservative advantage right now on the Francis Howell School Board, unlike many districts across the area. If you and Ashley don't get in, get elected, you reelected, I mean, that really could shake things up, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we've passed a lot of good common sense policies around, for instance, age-appropriate materials in schools and libraries, other things about doing too much politicking on school grounds, and then other basic things like how much finals are worth. And you can look for a lot of these to be overturned right away and going back to the old ways of doing things where the board is more of a rubber stamp. And that's not what the community wants.
What about a tax increase? Talk in the district of a need for a tax increase? And where do you stand on that?
Absolutely. There's talk about it, but it's not from us.
Yeah.
The other side likes to say, well, gosh, we need to find more revenue. Well, I can tell you there's only one place to find more revenue, and that's from the taxpayers, because that's who funds the school districts. So for better or worse, one of our opponents has suggested that Francis House students we need to be spending $2,000 more per student on it. And she just thinks that because that's what other schools are spending, despite the fact that we already have higher performance than all of our surrounding schools. But $2,000 more per student, which I don't think she did the math before she made that comment. Sometimes these things just fly out of people's mouth, but that we did the math, and that would be about a 25% tax increase. So if those people get elected, you can look for them to be pushing a tax increase here in the very near future.
Wow, that's Randy Cook. I've got Ashley Sturm in studio with us this morning running for the Francis Howell School Board. You didn't mention to me, Ashley, when you walked in, there's a vote in the Senate today on something we all think would be very important, too, and that's moving these April elections to a November time frame.
Yeah, Senate Bill 485. So Nick Schroer is actually bringing that. They're debating it actually today, which is ironic, right before the school board election. And if that changes, moves to November, it will adjust some of the term limits for school board. So I think it will shift one of them to 4 years. But for many people, I was talking to a whole neighborhood yesterday, and this vote is the only thing on their ballot. They're walking in to answer one question. So it's not a surprise that we haven't seen great voter turnout,
right.
Although we're trying our best to reverse that. Mm-hmm. We'd really like, you know, and obviously, which is why we're working so hard to make sure everybody gets out and votes, doesn't get lazy, doesn't get complacent. These things really, really matter. In the past, we've had just, 14, 15%?
Yeah, something like that.
Really low. Yeah. So I understand the push for wanting to move it to November.
Randy, what do you say to people who might be listening right now as we're chatting with you both who think, you know, I don't have kids in the district. Why do I really care? Why should I, in their opinion, maybe waste my time going to the polls and voting in tomorrow's election? What do you say to them?
Well, the most basic thing is that the way that the community's kids are educated sets the direction of not only our community, but our nation. So Frances Howe can be a beacon of light on how things should be done in a school district. I think that sets the tone and can inspire others to run for school district in their local district. But beyond that, more practical for some people is frankly just their taxes. The school district takes over 60% of the real estate and personal property taxes, just local taxes, not to mention all the money we get from the state income tax and a little bit of federal money that we get as well. So all of that is on the line. All of that has to be managed by people who are competent, people who can do the work, people who frankly enjoy doing the work. And that's what's on the line for those of those people without I was going to say those of us, but I have kids in the district. Those without kids in the district is really good financial management of your tax money.
It's a great point. That's Randy Cook. You can find out more at randycook.com. Ashley Sturm, vote Sturm, STURM.com. Listen, best of luck to both of you tomorrow.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate it. Yeah. We'll see you all out at the polls.
Yep. Take care. We appreciate that. And we're going to do everything we can between now and tomorrow to get you elected. Thank you for that. All right, coming up, by the way, the voter guide is out there, 971talk.com. You heard Ashley mention it a few minutes ago. That's fantastic. We'll run down the people that are on that list for you as well before the end of the show today, but you can download it and print it off and take it with you, 971talk.com. We're back in just a minute. Silver break.
The Mark Cox Morning Show. Kim on a whim.
I'd like to take a poll this morning.
Please.
How many of you have been on the scene of a mass shooting? Anyone? Anyone not only witnessed a shooting, witnessed a mass shooting? Because there's a new study out from the University of Colorado Boulder that said that 1 in 15 American adults have been on the scene of a mass shooting, and they define mass shooting as an incident when 4 or more people are shot in a public space.
Wow. The number is stunning. Like, I was on the scene of a massacre at the polls last November, but other than that, I've not been anywhere near a mass shooting.
That
like
really
that.
Was a massacre.
I'm telling you.
Unfortunately. Well, this would mean that 7% of U.S. adults have been at the scene of a mass shooting. And when you're talking about, you've been on a scene of it, it doesn't mean there was a mass shooting there 3 years ago and you went to the scene of it to go visit it. Because that number that they provided, 1 in 15, is so stunning that you'd think surely they'd have to be including that. No, they claim that you were in direct vicinity to where you could see the shooter. There were bullets that were fired in your direction. Or if you couldn't directly see the shooter, you could at least hear the gunshots. They went out, surveyed 10,000 people last year.
Where? Like downtown Chicago?
Well, that's a fantastic question. This being a study out of the University of Colorado Boulder, did they interview people right there in Boulder? Are there that many shootings there? They're saying that more than 2% of U.S. adults have been injured during a mass shooting. I don't know anybody who has witnessed a shooting, and certainly not a mass shooting.
Well, you know, I mentioned you and I having been reporters, television reporters, who are certainly on the scene of a lot of shootings, and I think maybe twice in my 25-plus year television career, I was on a scene and heard gunshots. Not at that scene, but somewhere else not far away, like we didn't have to take cover or anything, but in all that time, I've never been on the scene of a mass shooting. Maybe to cover it afterwards, but long after it was over with, up in North St. Louis somewhere. But honestly,
I've heard a lot of gunshots. Even living in the Central West End, I'd hear gunshots semi-regularly. Never actually saw someone running from cops or shooting. I never actually witnessed that, so I wouldn't fall into this category that they're including. Like you said, I've been reporting on the scene and heard gunshots, and they've told me to get in the car because it sounded, I guess, too close. I've had somebody point a gun at me, some crazy guy in Des Moines, Iowa. That happened. Never pulled the trigger. But I just these statistics, like I'm pointing out the study, and you might think, well, this is just some stupid study. Well, here's why this matters. People look to these studies and they point people to them when they're trying to decide new bills to introduce, saying, well, this is why gun violence is so rampant. This is why we need to do something about it, because one out of every 15 Americans has been on the scene of a mass shooting. I mean, really, how many of you listening believe that statistic?
No one can believe that. And I want to know, where's the mainstream media and trying to, are they reading this as a real story?
Yeah, this is CBS News reporting on this study.
Something that I found to be a challenge, even as when I was anchoring over Channel 4, we get something called the AP Newswire. If something came down on the AP Newswire or the PR Newswire, many times the producers or writers would take it and write it using it as the news source. So, you know, the Kaiser Family Foundation did a study on health care. Now, the Kaiser Family Foundation wants universal health care. Lo and behold, they did a study that proved 8 out of 10 Americans want universal health care. Well, you can't put any credibility in that, because their whole foundation exists for the reason of making America, you know, Medicaid for all. Mm-hmm. You have to look at your source on that. Mm-hmm. So why would the mainstream media take something like this and report it as accurate, knowing what group it came from?
It's stunning. It's one of those headlines. It's a headline that grabs a lot of attention. It's kind of like the COVID stuff, where they would say, you know, X amount of people died from COVID. Well, when you really break down the numbers, it was one of those things where they were able to take a situation where somebody had cancer or was in a car accident, and per protocol, they had to test everybody that essentially came into the hospital when we were at the peak of this. And if you had COVID, they would then attribute that to your death. And I remember there was this whole fight of people who were trying to get the death certificates changed because they knew their loved one did not die from COVID. And then do you remember the federal government came in when Biden was still in office and said, you know what, if you died from COVID I forget what the time frame was, but it was over a period of years. If you died from COVID, you can essentially submit something to get reimbursed for the funeral costs. So all those people who were fighting to have their loved ones' death certificates changed because they knew that it was a lie that they died from COVID, they were then, well, they weren't able to get any sort of reimbursement, and the people, I guess the other people did.
I do remember the controversy, but yeah, I'm not surprised that they try to float stuff out there like this. It's just it's insane. Maybe we can talk about it some more tomorrow on on 2A Tuesday. Mm-hmm. We'll try to get somebody on to talk about that, because it's just the lies that keep coming from that side are just never ending.
Gun violence is rampant.
Coming up, we're gonna talk to local attorney Kim Mathis. She just got a victory in court late Friday afternoon regarding Proposition B, which is on the ballot in St. Louis County during this election. Of course, Election Day officially tomorrow, although people are already voting. We'll talk to Kim about that victory, what it means, and we'll get to Tom Ackerman and talk about the Blues at about 8:35. Stay tuned.